Welcome, Lund Loyalists, to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Reappell Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Reappell Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's John.
What's happening? Good for or thanks for joining us, I should say. It is a Saturday edition. Sorry I'm late today. I was not watching Melrose Place. Could have been. Might have been. A little bit of a change up today. Episode 149, Giants Rotation Roulette. And I'm saying that in a good way. It's not a negative kind of a thing. But you see right there, Kyle Harrison, Tristan Beck. There's Carson Wisenhunt, who I wanted to see up here. And I'll explain more on that. But the Giants have an early start today at 1 o'clock. And we have a ton to get to today, as we always do, not just from a baseball standpoint, but there's a little bit more. Brock, you can see on the chalkboard there, episode 149, happy Saturday. Top line rotation, they've been really good in May. The right choice to replace JV, we'll get into that, because it's going to be Kyle Harrison today, who hasn't really been stretched out, so it's going to be a bullpen game today. The Knicks and the Pacers are interesting. Will the NBA allow this? I'll explain. Kevin Harlan got run into and was classic Harlan last night. Dead voice guy. If you haven't heard this story, I've been sitting on this for like 2 weeks. And we've been so busy with the Brock Purdy stuff and Warriors playoffs and all these different things that I really haven't gotten to this story. But it's an amazing story, which opens up a huge can of worms, which we'll discuss. Brock's Real Deal show that I've got up at johnlundunleashed.com right now. If you haven't seen it, you can. I'll explain. Good. We got two really good videos for the Sweet Clean Family Friendly Caboose Pistol, and random stuff happens throughout the show. Thanks for joining us on a Saturday edition of the show. We are exclusive today on John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. Please make sure you are subscribed. Please, please, please. Hit that like button before you get out of here today. That helps the algorithm find us and grow our great community. And also get those alerts on, because I'll be sending stuff out today on a Saturday version of the show. I actually have reason to be out and about today, so I might be doing some stuff on the run. So that'll be fun. And we are live on X at John Lund Radio. Please migrate over to John Lund Unleashed and hang out with us today in the chat room. It is always fun on a Saturday, but however you're listening or watching, we'll post this a bit later on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your favorite podcast, so you can get John Lund Unleashed in your car. If you want to listen to it later, that is completely fine. It's actually probably better than you don't have to look at my face, which is nice, which is very, very nice. There was a reason why I did radio for 30 years. Yes, there is. All right, episode 149. As I said, chalkboard is ready to go. Oh, we've already got supers on the board. Very cool. I did see Skills this morning say that stop watching Melrose Place, which was just a great random reference, because back in the day, certainly everybody watched Melrose Place, man. Josie Bassett, the blonde, and all that kind of stuff, and things were going on, and Heather Locklear and all that kind of stuff. But she kind of fell off, didn't she? That was kind of a problem. But good morning to everybody. Good to see everybody. DC and Skills and Joy, and good morning from everybody. Remember, make sure you're hitting us up on the Bay Area Sports Collective as well. We got new podcasts, new shows, very cool. Jeremy Affel, Amy G, Rod Brooks, in addition to Tommy and I, and Creative Tony and Polly and all that kind of stuff. So make sure that you're hitting up and subscribing, because you don't want to miss any of those, and you get your alerts on there as well. Good morning to the 1420 and Enrique and Joy and Jake. And who else is here this morning? Christopher, it is great to see you. Skills, always good to see you, my friend. Very, very nice to see everybody. If I missed you, DC, good morning to you. If I missed you, I will hit you up during the show at some point. Let's do start with a... Will there be a pot? Yeah. So what happened there? And thank you, Fuji. You're always the best. And thank you for donating to the show. If you 100% want to get your thoughts, questions, comments, thoughts on the show, just a quick, easy donation to the show would be greatly appreciated in the supers. And Fuji this morning is our first one out of the gate. Says, will there be a bottle of the pint at Miami? Yeah, I'm planning on a bottle of the pint next Friday. Krug had a thing that he could not get out of last night, so we try to do the bottom of the pint every Friday and have a bunch of fun and drink some beers and watch the Giants. And they played well yesterday, and it was an early start, which I love those early starts at 3:45, but we didn't get it together, so I apologize for that. But I fully plan on doing one next Friday at Miami in that ballpark, and this is a huge, huge, huge road trip. There's no doubt about that. So, yeah, I do plan on that, and thank you, Fuji, for holding us accountable on that. So again, if you want your questions, comments, or thoughts, that's a great way to do it. Good morning, Anthony. It's great to see you, my friend. Richard, let's fucking go. I hear you, man. Give me an LFG there. Let's do this thing, man. And I am feeling good. No drinking last night. Feel very clear. Made myself a, my wife and I are fiends for coffee. I think everybody is, right? And I'll get to something in just a second here, but just give me 1 minute here. So I sent a Saturday and I made this thing. I got to be honest with you. That was like better than coffee. I'm big into water, just water. But especially because it's becoming bathing suit season soon and I got to lose the spare tire from the winter and all the beer drinking that you make me do on the show. So anyway, I didn't do coffee today and I always bring her coffee. It's kind of a thing. And so she gets excited. So she sits up in the bed and like, you know, coffee. And I was like, I did something different. And so I haven't seen her since I did it, but I made this shake. So I took that Oikos yogurt, like vanilla, but no sugar, anything like that. The Greek yogurt, put it in a blender, did this peanut butter protein, which was really, really good. Took sugar-free chocolate chips and this stuff that Bill Romanowski gave me. Don't ask me what it is. It's like this brain food or something like that. And it's 10 times what coffee will do for you. I'm going to zoom you through the moon. And it felt, but it tastes really good, like peanut butter, chocolate chip kind of a thing. And I give it to her, and so I haven't seen her yet, but it jacked me up this morning. I'm feeling really good, even more than coffee. I don't know that I'm going to do that every day, but her disappointment in the look in her face that it was this thing, and I said, just give it a shot. And this look on her face was like, oh, it's not coffee? Come on, man. So we'll see. We'll see what I'm in for, and I'll let you know. Maybe even a little bit later today, I'll pop on just for a minute or do a short or something on it, because I don't know that she's going to love it, but I just, you know, I decided to change it up on this Saturday. I'm feeling good. Hopefully you can tell. I'm not sure that it's going to, PB Fit, that PB Fit peanut butter protein, that stuff is so good. So yeah, with vanilla Oikos, you know, the sugar, the Oikos Zero, whatever, vanilla with that stuff, sugar-free chocolate chips. Oh, I put a little almond milk in there and Bill Romanowski's secret ingredient stuff. And it's a chocolate flavor, but it's brain food stuff. And what else did I put in there? I think that's it, but lots of protein and low sugar. And yeah, the PB Fit, which is really good. And you put that in with like a vanilla and it gives you, it's like a peanut butter chocolate chip shake. It was really good. But like I said, she's coffee in the morning. So I'm going to bet 99% that she, hi Skills. I'm going to bet 99% that she walked back in there and probably took a sip or poured it out and then went coffee. But I don't know. This was better for her. And believe me, I'm feeling better. Oh, I have not had one of these for so long. If you're new to the show, I know we got to get the stuff, and we got a lot of good stuff today, so don't go anywhere. But if you're new to the show, our friend Skills here, he'll do the supers, and thank you, and he'll bring in a dream. And Skills, man, I got to get this dream guy in. So he'll put up dreams, and they're just random, and they're so good. They're just so good. So he says, pass that at my desk. Dreamed me and David Caruso. Let me stop for a second. Has anybody seen a picture of David Caruso in the last 20 years? It's unreal. Like the way he looked at it, what is it? NYPD Blue, I think is what he was on or whatever it was. Good looking guy, whatever. And women liked him and all that. And then there was a picture of him. I don't know if it was at a gas station. I don't know if he's hiding out or whatever. Somebody took a tire pump and added like 200 pounds to him. And he does not look good. Does not look good. But anyway, it's whatever. Personal appearances should not be show fodder, but they are. Dream me, David Caruso, Mark Derwin investigated the possibility of ex-Browns quarterback Deshaun Kizer. How random is that? By the way, this is how warped my brain is. Second round pick, Cleveland Browns, Notre Dame. But yeah, ex-Browns quarterback, or was it Green Bay that he got drafted? I can't remember. He was a total bust. Actually being a woman. So, I mean, how random is that? This is so incredible. Because first of all, I tell you this all the time. I never remember my dreams. And if I ever remembered my dreams, they just wouldn't be as random as that. So I don't know. We got to get that one absolutely analyzed. I mean, you just have in one picture, you, David Caruso, Mark Derwin, Deshaun Kizer. And Deshaun Kizer was actually a woman. Like, I don't know where that comes from, man. There's got to be something to that, right? There's got to be some reason for that. There just has to be. Sharing this for no reason. No, you're sharing it for a reason. It's incredibly thought-provoking to me. That's incredibly thought-provoking to me. Like, where would that come from? Like, did you smoke last night? Were you drinking? Did it come from that? Or was it just that just happens naturally? It's wild. Got to get my dream guy in here because that is freaking wild. like to just have that random of a thought process there. Thank you for sharing skills. You are the best. And again, anytime you want to hit me up with a super, that is awesome. All right, let's get to it today. We go from a lot of Brock talk to the pitching, and we got into this a little bit yesterday at the end. I said, man, I hope they bring up Carson Wisenhunt because I think he deserves it. I think within an organization, when a guy is pitching the way that Carson Wisenhunt is and you have an injury, and I get it, there's other guys within maybe the organization that you feel deserve it. There's also the spot of when did Wisenhunt pitch and this, that, and the other. Like, I get all those things. But as an organization, if a guy's pitching really, really well, I'm going to show you how well Wisenhunt's been pitching, then just organizationally, you want to reward players. And what that does is not only does that reward that player, but it also rewards hard work. So if you work through the organization and you're hot and you're pitching well or hitting well or whatever the case may be, you're going to get a promotion because we see you. And it's so there's a lot to moves in professional sports, especially in baseball, that are maybe even more than meets the eye. There's certain organizational things that you follow. Okay, this is what we do when, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that Carson Wisenhunt deserved the promotion. And he's 25 years old. He's not 22. He's not 21. He's not 20. He's not really young. He's almost 25 years old, and he deserves the promotion, whatever. Here's the one thing I want to do before we get into the promotion, and because Justin Verlander's down. Kyle Harrison's going to pitch today. I keep saying to myself, I'm not down on Harrison, but I don't think he's a starter. I think he's a reliever. And I think today, because he's not stretched out, it means you're going to have a bullpen game, which means you're going to burn your bullpen. And this is a long road trip. So I don't love this decision. Now, having said that, this is what the Giants have done in May. All right. This is their rotation in May, not their rotation, excuse me, all their pitching. So they're 11-9 with the 284. That ERA, which again, I know this is an old school metric, but I still like it. So in overall ERA, that's starters and relievers, 284, which is third in baseball in May. As you can see in the right-hand corner, it says May. So in May, they have the third best ERA, their pitching staff, in May. Not bad. Now, I went to their game notes today, and today's game notes weren't out. So this is before yesterday, but again, Landon Root pitched well. So the top metric there, just looking at May, see May on both of those? The top metric is starting pitching. The bottom metric is your relievers. So in April, as you can see, go to the bottom left there, the ERA for the bullpen, second in baseball at 2.52. Very nice. Then you go up to May, top on the right. That's the rotation in May, 6-6 with a 293. Excuse me. That's the bullpen in May, 6-6, 293. And then you've got, excuse me, I'm screwing this whole thing up. Rotation is on top, bullpen is on bottom. So rotation in May is 6-6 with a 293. And then the bullpen is 4-3 with the 308. So the bullpen's fallen off a little bit. And I keep telling you, I'm a little bit nervous about them burning out the bullpen. I just don't like it. They're just 4-8 and save opportunities. Ryan Walker, we've talked about. I just don't want them to burn out the bullpen. But the rotation in May has a 2.93. So they're pitching great. They were 99 with a 440 March. And they're 6-6 with a 293. So I can't complain about the rotation. It's been absolutely great. And that throws in, like, you know, Logan Webb, what, day before yesterday wasn't very good and all that kind of stuff. So it's their rotation's been really good. Landon Roop, who pitched last night, and I'm sorry that this is so small, so hopefully you can see it. But what it means, if you look right there where it says, not outcome, where's months? You see months right there at the top? He had a 5.10 ERA in March, April. And then in May, he's got a 1.64. So he's been much better in May, has Landon Roop. So he's kind of symbolic of what this rotation has been. And again, I'm sorry that those numbers are so small. But the point is that Landon Roop has been really good in May. And we're, what, three quarters of the way through May? What's it, 24th, whatever it is? So we've got enough metrics in May. Landon Roop's got four starts in May with a 1.64 ERA. So he's been really, really good. So rotation's been good. I want to establish that before I say, wait a minute, this is what they should have done. So I'm acknowledging the fact that the Giants rotation has been really good in May, and that's kept them in a lot of games, even though we've gone over this metric. They'll score 10 runs, they'll score 2 runs, they'll score 8 runs, they'll score 1 run. Like their offense is incredibly inconsistent. They scored 4 yesterday, which, as we know, is the magic number for the Giants to win games. And Landon Roop and company shut out the Washington Nationals. So their rotation has been good. Let's make sure that we that we acknowledged that. Now, the reason that I wanted Wisenhunt up is this. Now, if you look at those, are at the top right there is his pitching log. But where I have highlighted there is his last month of pitching. So four starts. Teams are hitting 182 against him in that month. And you can see just 18 hits and 99 at bats. And you see the strikeouts there, the base on balls. He's got 28 strikeouts to 22 bases on balls. And if you look at the last four starts, 7-7-7-7. The guy's rocking it. He's absolutely rocking and rolling. And remember, he's 25 years old, so it's not like he's 21. He's been in the organization a long time. He deserves the promotion. He's been pitching great. So when a guy is pitcher of the week, when the last month he's been absolutely crushing it, when he is your number two but number one pitching prospect, you've got to see what the guy can do, because I don't want to see what – well, I do. But I'd rather see what Carson Wisenhunt can do early in the season, and then he can come up here. If he gets bombed, that's fine. Then he knows what he has to work on, and he goes back down. That's part of the process here. So I think he should have been the one easily. If you look at those numbers right there and you look at those last starts, four starts in a row with seven innings pitched. They need innings, this team. They need to give the bullpen a break. The bullpen has fallen off a little bit this month, and we are really early in the season. Tristan Beck is the one that they did bring up. Nothing against Tristan Beck, but I know what Tristan Beck is. He's 29 years old. You can see in the minors there, 20 and 22 with a 4.96. He's just okay. His majors, you know, not bad, but he's only started four games. This year, he's having a nice year in Sacramento. I'm not saying he's not, but he's a nice player. But, you know, he's not even a prospect anymore. He's 29 years old. He's okay. You know, he's just okay. He's had some injuries, all those kind of things. I get it. He's not pitching poorly. It's not that he doesn't deserve the promotion. And then as far as Kyle Harrison is concerned, Kyle Harrison's not stretched out at all. Kyle Harrison has just been in relief appearance. He was sick in spring training. Like, I get it. I still think Kyle Harrison needs some time. So if Kyle Harrison goes a few innings today against Washington, that's about all he can do. He's probably going to be a 60 to 75 pitch guy. And I don't even know if he's going to go that far. He might go 50 pitches today is actually what he's probably going to do. He's probably going to go like 50 pitches. Okay, it's a bullpen game today for Kyle Harrison against Washington. Whereas if you bring up Wisenhunt, Washington is a soft landing spot, then he wouldn't pitch against Detroit, and then you got another soft landing spot against Miami. So two teams that aren't great, and that's what Wisenhunt would pitch against. He deserves the promotion. So in terms of what you do organizationally, guy's almost 25 years old. He's pitched seven straight starts with seven innings pitched. In the last month, he's 28 strikeouts with two walks. He's the PCL pitcher of the week. That's not an easy place to pitch. It's time to promote him and see what he can do. And it's also telling the rest of the players within your organization that if you play well, pitch well, hit well, whatever it is, we're going to give you a promotion and we're going to see what you can do. I know what Tristan Beck can do. 29 years old, not a prospect anymore. He's not horrible. I'm just saying, let's see what we have within the organization. And you don't want to do it in August or September when there's a mounting amount of pressure on a young kid. See what he can do. You deserve the promotion. Okay, you got bombed up here. Now you know what you got to work on, and you go back and you work on specific things because you've been to the show. And he's 25, so he's not 21, 22. He's not inexperienced. He's not going to be awed by the big lights. Get him in there. See what he can do. It makes a ton of sense. And as far as Harrison is concerned, the more I see him, the more I think he's a reliever. He's got two solid pitches. The deception works for a minute or two, and then he gets deeper into a game, and he's not going to go deep into this game, which means you're going to use your bullpen a lot. And because Logan Webb, I'm not going to say unexpectedly, but it doesn't happen very often, just went four innings the other night. So you had to go to your bullpen earlier in that game. You're on a long road trip. You're going to be using your pen a lot. Your pen is already showing that, yeah, maybe you're overusing them just a little bit. They're just not quite as sharp as they were in April. So anyway, look, it's kind of a contradiction here because I just showed you how great the Giants have been pitching in the month. Their starting pitching has been in the month, and these guys know what they're talking about. And these guys who are recommending who's up and who's down and who stays and who goes and who's in the majors and who's not, I understand those things. But philosophically, as an organization, when a guy's pitching the way that Carson Wisenhunt is, he deserves a promotion. And you also want to see what he's got. And then later on, if he doesn't stick, if it's best case scenario, all of a sudden you just found another guy like Hayden Birdsong. And I think Wisenhunt can be that kind of a guy. Birdsong has that kind of mentality. I have not talked to Carson Wisenhunt before, but people tell me that's the kind of stuff he's got, that he's a bulldog type of mentality. I just want to see what he is early in the season. Later in the season, maybe he goes down. Worst case scenario is he gets bombed. He works on his craft. He knows what he has to work on. He's been in the majors. Best case scenario is he's really, really good, and you've found that starter that you've been kind of messing with. And JV is going to miss probably two starts. So now this guy gets the two starts, and if he's really, really good, then I've got a decision to make, right? Landon Roop has been good in May, kind of struggled in the early part of the season, but now all of a sudden he's kind of finding his footing a little bit. Can I make Kyle Harrison then a full-time reliever and add another arm to my pen? And even you see what's happening here? Is that now my pen has Hicks, and my pen has Kyle Harrison, and my pen has, you know, all these other guys, and there's a couple of things that are great about that. I've got a ton of depth in my bullpen. I'm not going to burn out my guys anymore. I'm not a huge Bivens guy. I love the story. That was cool last year. He came up at 30. He's making me nervous. He might get pushed out of the bullpen in my scenario, and I put Harrison in there. The other part of it is that is great, and I keep talking about this. You have a screaming need at first base. Now, look, Casey Schmidt got a hit last night. Maybe Casey Schmidt's learning how to hit. That would be massive if Casey Schmidt could finally come around, because he's kind of wasted at first base. I mean, he's a great defensive player, but whatever. He does have some power. He's shown power in the minor leagues. Could he possibly give him something at first base until Bryce Eldridge is ready? Maybe. But I'm sick and tired. We've had this conversation, so we're not going to have it again. I've about Lamont Wade Jr. Can somebody come up and give him competence at first base? Maybe Casey Schmidt can't. But if he can't, then I've got this overflow in my pen. And it's not even just pen. Hey, Kyle Harrison, there's probably teams who still think, hey, this guy's a top prospect. I'd love to get a left-hander. Yeah, I'll trade for Kyle Harrison. Jordan Hicks, I've seen him in the rotation. Every team in baseball needs more pitching. And you've got versatile guys who can either be starters or relievers, and there's value in that. So I'm not saying you're going to get an all-star for one of those guys. Maybe there is a team out there that still really likes Harrison's upside, so maybe you can get something pretty good. Somebody who's kind of been a downer within an – I don't know every organization, but I bet there's a Kyle Harrison type within an organization, and I don't mean positionally. I mean in the same kind of boat where it's like, you know, he's ascending. We love the guy. He's at one point, Harrison was the top left-handed pitching prospect in baseball. And all of a sudden, he's kind of plateauing. It's been injuries. It's been the sickness in spring training. Maybe Harrison still has a lot of upside. But you know what? There's probably someone, a hitter, a first baseman, a guy who could play first base within an organization similar to Kyle Harrison, who was like going like this and then just kind of plateaued out. You know, maybe they need a change of scenery. We've seen that many times in every single sport. Maybe it's change of scenery time for Harrison and change of scenery time for a guy like Harrison, but a positional player who could play first, and maybe each team takes a risk on that player. There's got to be that out there. And that's different than, okay, we're going to make a trade for, as I've been talking about, Rhys Hoskins. All right, you're going to hold me up. You're going to hold me for ransom here because it's way before the trade deadline. And so I'm going to have to give up way too much. And I'm not saying to give up Kyle Harrison for Rhys Hoskins, who has a player, there's a mutual option for next year, and he's 32 years old. I really think he can help the Giants now, but I'm not going to give up Kyle Harrison's future for that. Not for three quarters of a season of a guy, even though I'd like Rhys Hoskins. That's not going to be the trade I'm going to make, but that's what Milwaukee would want at this point, this far ahead of the trade deadline. Somebody like that. So point is that if you bring up Wisenhunt, worst case, all right, he goes back down, but he knows what he needs to learn. Best case is, damn, we got another guy who can pitch. And now we've got all this depth within the organization, and we can go out and potentially get that player with some of this depth. You know, can Jordan Hicks get you something? Can Harrison by himself get you something? Like I said, maybe change a scenery type as a positional player. Anyway, there's my thought. But I want to acknowledge the fact that the Giants have been really good from a rotational standpoint in May, which is huge. And now, as I always say, it just comes down to how much offense can they get? How much can they score? And there's wild inconsistencies with Adames and Chapman and all these different guys. And it's like, you know, and how long is Yaz going to keep doing this? So before Yaz does one of these, they need to get first base solved somehow, some way. So anyway, there's my Giants thoughts. Give me your thought. Long road trip, Washington today, 105. Kyle Harrison's going to get the start. I don't love it, but we'll see. I could be wrong. Knicks Pacers. I don't know if you watched that last night, but I can't. Shocked is probably the word for it. Plus, there's the other thing, too. Let me just do two things here. So it's Knicks Pacers. Will the NBA allow this in Harlan? I'll play the Harlan cut in a second. He got run into by Jalen Brunson, and it's about, I don't know, 45 seconds. It's absolutely hilarious. Just classic Harlan. And then seeing him stand up, I got a story for you on Harlan on that. But, you know, you look at the Pacers, and I tell you this all the time, there are teams who are 82-game teams. There are sprint teams. And this is the second consecutive year that Indiana's been in the Eastern Conference Final, and I'm watching their team, and I'm going, how are they getting here? I mean, they've got good players, and I like Halliburton, but he's not Jalen Brunson. He's not Steph Curry. He's not. But somehow in the playoffs, him and in that funky shot, they just step it up. Miles Turner was great in the fourth quarter, was kind of disappeared for the first three, and I keep mentioning his name as a big for the Warriors. But he hit a bunch of big shots down the stretch for the Pacers. They've just had a bunch of guys step up for Indiana, and they don't seem to be bothered by the fact that New York, MSG and what it is and how loud and all the stars and all this, they just keep making big shot after big shot, and they get out to the lead, and then the game gets close, and you think the Knicks are going to make some sort of a run for it, and then Indiana just keeps their composure. So the series so far, Knicks are down 0-2, and they're going to Indiana. Can they still win the series? They could. But here's the thing that's blowing my mind, because whether it's Minnesota or Oklahoma City, and it looks like it's going to be Oklahoma City in the West, small market. You look at the Eastern Conference, Indiana, small market. So Indiana's going to play Oklahoma City. I've told you this before. I'm a conspiracy theorist. There was no way in my mind that Indiana was going to win this series just for the very reason that the NBA wasn't going to allow two small market teams in the NBA Finals. When was the last time that happened? Usually it's like, okay, the Utah Jazz are in the finals. They're playing the Bulls, the number three market. You know, it's just you rarely, if ever, see two small market teams go to the NBA finals. The Lakers are usually in it, or the Bulls are usually in it, or, you know, there's a major market team in the NBA finals. So you don't see, I mean, the Warriors, you know, people don't think about it, but we're a top four major media market. So, you know, those teams go, oh, you're going to have a small market team, you got to have a big market team. Because I like the NBA Finals, and I'm different, and you're probably different. You'll probably watch the NBA Finals, and I'm fascinated. I would be fascinated by a Pacers OKC Finals. I would still watch it. I really don't care about market size, but the NBA does. And if you knock New York out of it, the number one media market in the country for Indiana versus Oklahoma City, just a lot of people are like, the hell, it'll get the lowest ratings probably of all time. So anyway, and TV execs and whatever other platforms we have nowadays, they don't love that. So as I say, Knicks Pacers, and after that on the chalkboard, I say, will the NBA allow this? That's what I mean. Will they allow Pacers, Thunder, Oklahoma versus Indiana for the NBA Finals? We'll see, because if there's a miraculous turnaround and all of a sudden the Knicks tie this thing, and the Knicks look great and all this kind of stuff, and there's a bunch of weird whistles and Jalen Brunson and all and so forth are going to the parade into the free throw line, it's going to be strange. Here's the Harlan thing from last night. I don't know if you saw this, but this was awesome. So I'm a huge Kevin Harlan fan. He is one of the greatest guys ever. He is honestly one of the nicest guys ever. Greg Papa and he are really good friends. And when we did the show together for years, not only would Harlan come on the show whenever, but if we were out on location, if it was a Super Bowl and he was calling it for Westwood One all the time, Harlan would come and he'd spend an hour with us on Radio Row, and he was busy as hell and his handlers were always trying to grab him away. And he was like, sorry, I'm staying. Said hello to my son, who's an aspiring broadcaster, as you know, took a picture with him, gave his number to my son, George, and said, when you have when you have stuff to listen to, when you have play-by-play stuff, when you have all this stuff, you send it to me. Here's my email. Here's my phone number. That's what he did. I mean, he's just the nicest guy you could ever meet. Greatest guy ever. Always deferring to other people. Always was telling Greg how great his calls were. Always saying, this. I mean, Harlan's just salt of the earth. Really good dude. Really great guy. And then the calls he's had, you know, not the streaker, but the guy who ran on the field for the Niners against the Rams. He's drunk. He's, you know, all that stuff. The cat in New York. And then later on, he's kind of sheepish about it. He doesn't like to talk about it because they're like, dude, don't do that. It's hilarious. So he just does these one-offs that are hilarious. So here is Harlan last night. I think this is Harlan. Yeah. Here is Harlan last night. and Jalen Brunson actually runs into the table, into the broadcast table, and spills a bunch of stuff all over him and everything, but Harlan still gets the calls right. Watch this.
Brunson, oh, look out, he comes in. Brunson falls to the left. Ball the other way. Hurt the other way. And a drive the other way. That was by Toppin.
And that's what I'm talking about. Good action right there.
I'm wet. I'm dirty. Oh, my. Stuff all over the place. And here comes Brunson again. Sets up. Three. No. Rebound. Robinson held and fouled.
Okay, Mr. Harlan?
Yeah, don't worry about me.
Oh, this was great.
Thank you. Nice fan in back here helping us up. Thank you. See, Knick fans are some of the best fans in the league. Thank you, sir.
Yes, they are. You got to love these Knicks fans.
You don't have to.
Oh, look at this coming
right. Okay, I'm going to freeze it right here for just a second because Brunson's running into Harlan right there. You can see it. It's a little bit blurry. But the reason I stop it right there is, like Papa, Harlan does not sit down during the games. He's told us that. He just can't. So you see Spike Lee in the hat right to it, or excuse me, that's Tracy Morgan to the right of Harlan. But you see those people sitting behind him. And then as he's broadcasting, he was the one saying they're helping us clean up or whatever. He stands like that. That's, I was going to say that's Stan Van Gundy, but it's not. But stuff gets spilled on him, but he stands the whole game. So the people behind him have to stand. Can you imagine paying that much money for a ticket? You're mid-court, literally mid-court. And Kevin Harlan's standing the whole time, so you got to stand the whole time, and you've spent thousands of dollars on those tickets. So anyway, I just wanted to point that out as a kind of a personal aside, that Harlan stands the entire game. He didn't just stand because Jalen Brunson comes running into him to get the ball. Everything goes spilling all over him, and he's standing. And then those people see the guy in the white T-shirt. He's got to stand the whole game, or he can't see the damn game. Anyway.
Right at us.
That was awesome. Anyway, there you go. Harlan with the call, Knicks and Pacers last night. And he gets wet, but keeps on calling it. But yeah, you'd have to stand the entire game if you were behind Kevin Harlan. All right, Dead Voice Guy. Let me tell you a story about Dead Voice Guy. Now, you may have already heard this story. The guy's name is Jim Fagan. So if you're old enough to remember the NBA on NBC, which it hasn't been all that long ago, but it's going from, as you know, TNT to NBC. They've got the rights to the NBA. Inside the NBA, I'm nervous about because that's going to ESPN, and I think they're going to screw it up. But this story came out that, and this is all AI, and this is going to be really scary, and I certainly get scared of this because anybody could take your voice and make you say whatever. It's like, I didn't say that. But when the NBA was on NBC, a guy named Jim Fagan was the voice of the NBA on NBC, and this is what it sounded like. So this is Jim Fagan, voice of the NBA on NBC.
This is the NBA on NBC. The 1998 NBA Finals. Tonight. It's Game 6, the Chicago Bulls versus the Utah Jazz.
All right, so I chose that because I covered that game and was inside that arena on that night. So that's Jim Fagan's voice, the voice of the NBA on NBC. This is also Jim Fagan's voice for the upcoming NBA on NBC.
The NBA on NBC is back. See you this October for the NBA season tip-off.
Okay, but here's the difference. See right there, it says, how is NBC using Jim Fagan's voice? Fagan's voice will be used thanks to a partnership with his family. The use of AI after NBC did something similar for the 2024 Paris Olympics, and Al Michaels' voice was used for its year daily Olympic recap on Peacock Future. But Al Michaels didn't voice it. It was actually Al Michaels' voice, but it was AI. Well, Jim Fagan's dead. So it would be really tough for Jim Fagan to voice the NBA on NBC, except for the fact that that voice you just heard was dead Jim Fagan. That was AI Jim Fagan. So the guy from 1998, right? The guy from 1998, this guy.
This is the NBA on NBC.
Is the same voice, but AI. So let's do it one more time.
The NBA on NBC is back. See you this October for the NBA season tip-off.
And I get it, man. It's like, this is just the way it is, right? This is just the way it is. It's going to be AI this and AI that. And I feel bad for voice work guys because they're going to be out of business. Like, why would you hire a new guy? NBC is just like, well, we'll just type into a, you know, a thing here with Jim Fagan's voice, who we used for years and years and years on NBC, NBA on NBC. And we want to use him again because the voice was so great. So they went to his family, worked out a deal, I'm sure a financial deal, that said, that's fine. And I don't know what they would pay Jim Fagan to be the NBA voice on NBC, but I gotta believe it's a couple hundred grand, you know, gig, or maybe that's like $250,000 gig. I mean, it's a pretty good gig. So he's passed away. And so the NBC goes to the family and says, look, let's just say for the sake of conversation, we paid Jim Fagan $250,000, to maybe that's a little rich back in the day, but I'll just say that, to voice it, we'll give you guys $100,000 to use him as, you know, AI. And they're like, okay. Now, again, I think that would be a little creepy. Like if it was me, like, okay. But then I hear my dad's voice, like creepy. I guess, you know, I guess for $100,000 or something like that, I would, but it's creepy. And then it just opens up that whole Pandora's box where it's like, well, you know, is Al Michaels going to do play by play after he's dead? Why not do, like they showed Marv Albert in MSG last night watching the game. Why not use Marv as a, you know, why do you need, you know, like Kevin Harlan could call games forever. He's passed away, but Kevin Harlan's amazing. Like, I don't know, you know, there's one thing to do voice work, then it's play by play. Can AI, you know, something got spilled and, you know, you're not going to probably have that part of it, but it could AI just sit courtside like a robot with Kevin Harlan's voice and do the play by play. And then we always have Kevin Harlan, or we go back, this is Howard Cosell. Like, you know, are they going to have Howard Cosell do it? Marv Albert, oh yes, a facial Patrick Ewing. And it's like, well, no, it's not Patrick Ewing, but you understand. Cooper Flagg from three. Yes. You know, like he passed away. Cooper Flagg's been in the league 10 years. Like, I don't know where it stops, if it ever stops. And, you know, I wonder, here's the thing I would think would be really, really cool. All right. So I don't mean to be morbid, but like Crook and Kite, for example, you love them. You grew up on them and you decide yourself, this is where I think it would be really cool. I want my own play-by-play guy. Like you can, the Giants can hire a new one. This can hire a new one. You know, we all have our favorites and more so who we don't like. So I don't, there's certain people I don't want to hear. What if I could take the play-by-play people I want and just customize it to my TV set? Like you can do that. You can, in your car, you can have like, you know, custom directions by a certain voice. Why not have that as like play-by-play? Like forever, you want the one that you as a kid grew up on. Maybe it was Kurt Gowdy, or maybe it was Cosell, or maybe it was, you know, Keith Jackson. Oh my, it's the big uglies up front. It's Alabama versus Texas A&M. Like, you know, can you imagine like Keith Jackson call all your college football games? Like forever. Like that's who it's whatever the game is. I just want Keith Jackson. It could be, you know, my alma mater, Utah State versus Southwest Louisiana. I don't care. Keith Jackson's calling the game. The Utah State Aggies. Oh, what's an Aggie? You know, I mean, just come on. That'd be amazing. Like I said, more so, there's certain people like, I don't need that anymore. And if you like college basketball, just Dick Vitale does it forever. Oh, baby, let's go. He's a PTP. It's like, yeah, I wouldn't choose him, but you know, anyway, maybe that's where it's all going, because that's just, I saw that, and that's been a story for a couple of weeks now, and I know that you may have already seen it, but I was amazed by that. Like, the family's like, sure, pay us. I mean, that's pretty amazing that, like, this dude passed away, right?
The NBA on NBC is back. See you this October for the NBA season tip-off.
I mean, you'd never know. I mean, unless anybody told you, it's like, that's the same guy. Crazy. Anyway, there's the story of Jim Fagan, who's the dead voice of the NBA on NBC. All right, a little bit of Brock Purdy. We've Brock Purdy'd out, so I didn't want to do too much on this Saturday of Brock Purdy. But just know that yesterday, and I don't even think I have the thing up here. I don't. But yesterday I did do a – in fact, you know what? Let me see if I can share my screen with you, and if I do have that, I don't even know if I have this. I'm just doing this off the top of my head to see if I have it. I may not. John Lund Unleashed. No, I don't have it there. I may not have it. But I did write a, or I did do a new piece. Channel dashboard. Nope, that's not it. Okay, I don't have it. I do have a new piece that I did yesterday. I cut up the piece on Brock. So if you wanted to see more about the contract, you can do that. I'm not going to go big into the Brock contract because I have a whole piece on this. But the only thing I wanted to show you, if you missed it from yesterday and you don't want to go back, which you should, because we did the details on it. But my point is that they didn't tear the team apart and everyone panicked for no reason. Oh my God, Brock's going to get this big contract. First year hit $9.1 million. Second year hit $24.7 million. Third year hit $30 million. Those are the first 3 years. Then as you can see right there, there's an out. 3 years, $115 million. And if at the end of 3 years, they don't like Brock anymore, they fall out of love with Brock, and it happens all the time, divorce rate's more than 50% in this country, then they pay him $16 million and Brock goes away. That's the deal. So everyone who's panicking, oh my God, they overpaid. Oh my God, is Brock overpaid? Oh my God, he's not a top 10 quarterback. Oh, they tore the team apart because of Brock. No, they didn't. He's going to make $9 million next, not make, cap hit 9.1, cap hit 24.7, cap hit 31. But the third year, he's still a bargain. And remember, the cap is going up and up and up and up every single year. So even if they still love him after 3 years and they go 57 on that fourth year, that's fine. That's not bad. But where the contract ends at 72, before the 72, that'll still be a lot of money in 5 years. Before the 72, they'll renegotiate that deal. So now you're in the know. It's not a prohibitive contract. The cap hits are ridiculously low in the first 3 years. They can get out of it at the end of three for just $16 million. They can go into that fourth year, hit it for 57, but they'll renegotiate by that fifth year. So that's all you need to know about Brock's contract. We don't need to go deep into it. I did a whole piece on it at John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. If you want to go back and watch it, I get into it a little bit more extensively, but I just wanted to mention it very quickly because the bottom line is they didn't break up the team because of Brock. It's not a bad contract. In fact, it's a ridiculously fair contract, and the 49ers, again, did a really great job. And it also shows that Brock just wants to play ball because a lot of players wouldn't have gone for that. But he does get, I think he gets $100 million like in the first couple of years of the contract. So he gets what he wants, which is a bunch of money up front. But the organization gets what they want because if they don't love him after 3 years, you get out for 16. And that's less than they're getting out for like a Javon Hargrave. That's a lot less than if they would have traded Brandon Ayuk. So it's just giving you a reference point of, you know, they can get out if they want to get out. All right. That's what Brock's deal is. Sweet, clean, family friendly caboose pistol, random things. We haven't done a ton of random things today, but let me just say good morning to everybody. If I missed anybody, Anthony, I said good morning. Hello. Patrick is here this morning. Good to see you, Richard. I think I saw you this morning. Good. Pine, it is great to see you. What are you talking about? I'm two drinks. Where are you at, man? Where are you at? You're already, man, what time is it? There's nothing wrong with that. It's 11 o'clock on a Saturday. You do you. I have no problem with that, that you're two drinks in at 11 o'clock on a Saturday. Absolutely not. That's fine. Yeah, I think you're totally fine. Hi, Kyle. Yeah, that's a good point. I don't want to know. It is kind of fun and you kind of have to know. I mean, it's unfortunate, but you kind of have to know, but yeah, that's wild to me. It's going to keep going. Like, you know, not that you would want my voice, but you could. I could be your like, turn right in 2 miles, turn right now. Oh, you missed the turn. You turn, dumbass. You know, I could be your voice. I could be your voice for that. Let's see. What else do we got? Hello, Daniel. It's good to see you, my friend. Tommy, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It is good morning on the West Coast in case you're watching somewhere else. Hi, Fozzie. Good to see you. Talking a little Giants here. Trade for a bat, first or second. Make up for third and shortstop if their bats aren't promising. I'm just saying they got a lot of depth in their pitching staff, and I just want to see what Wisenhunt Hunt can do. And I think when you're that good, when you're pitching that well, and I threw up the stats on Wisenhunt Hunt, what he's done lately, 4 straight games, 7 innings pitched for the month, 20 strikeouts, 2 walks. You motivate your entire organization by saying, hey, man, let's make sure that we promote somebody like that. That tells our whole organization that if we're rocking and rolling with somebody, that's what we're going to do. Tristan Beck is really uninspiring of a move. 29 years old, been in the organization forever, not a bad guy, but we've seen guys like this before. He's not going to excite me. I get it if you want to just, hey, Harrison's already on the roster. Let's just do a bullpen game today. I get it. But bringing Tristan back up instead of Carson Wisenhunt, I think that's a bad move, and I think it's a bad move for your organization.
Plus, like I said, then he comes up in August or September, and you're like, God, he's got to win a game. How about that you just get him up here now? And like I said, best case scenario, he stays forever. Worst case scenario, he knows what he needs to work on. So anyway, there's that. All right, let's hit up some Caboose Pistol, because I do have a couple of things on the Caboose today. Let me just make sure. Yeah, okay. I got a couple of things on the Caboose today that are very good. Let me make sure. Don't want to oversell them, but they are good. I'll say above average. I don't want to oversell them. Let's see. Let me find the open here. Got like 50 things up on my screen right now. So I'm going to make sure that I should move the Sweet Clean Family Friend, the Caboose Pistol up here, because I always have it. Here we go.
John Lund Unleashed presents the Caboose Pistol.
Wedged in the crack of her buttocks.
Somehow, someway, Lundo thinks this is the best way to leave a final impression on you for the day.
The old Caboose Pistol. Everybody has one.
Did you say Caboose
Pistol? I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Leave me out of this, you weirdo. Here's John. John.
My wife just dropped off this gigantic green thing. I think she's trying to pay me back for the smoothie that I got her. That's green. Would you drink a green? No, no, no. Maybe she's trying to tell me something. Don't know, drink that green smoothie. Not excited about it. Doesn't look appetizing at all. All right, what was I doing? Oh, I was doing a Sweet Clean Family Friendly Caboose Pistol. I don't know what you feel about gender reveals. We never did gender reveals. Like, oh, there's a penis there. He's a boy. Great, let's tell everybody. I don't know, man. Swing in and, you know, guy misses and... So anytime you see a gender reveal, it's just because it's something weird. I would never do something like that. It's just me. It's, you know, it's a personal thing with me. I'm not, you know, a kid, it's a boy, it's a girl, whatever. But in Florida, things are a little bit different. They actually used an alligator for a gender reveal. Take a look.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Alligator.
Oh, yeah. Hold on, sucker.
Look at the thing. The thing's like, what in the hell? Yeah. It blows up right in his face. I'm a West Coast guy most of my life. I have worked all over the country in Dallas and Pittsburgh and Detroit and other places. I have never been down to Florida a lot. I've covered a couple of Super Bowls down there. I've been down there to cover other events, but never seen a gator. I did have a fraternity brother that was from Florida and said that, you know, a gator got into his pool and all this kind of, it's different, I guess, for people down there. I don't know if that guy's a gator handler, whatever the case may be. There's no way in hell I would ever get that close to an alligator. There's just no friggin' way. They're not domesticated. They're not supposed to be domesticated. I'm sure they're unpredictable. I have no idea. I'm not a gender reveal kind of a person. I've never seen a gender reveal like that. So there you go. There is a gender reveal using an alligator to pop a balloon. Second of the two Sweet Clean Family Friendly Caboose Pistols. So let me premise this one by saying you learn as you get older. No offense. You know, you work for a company. It's a means to an end for you. It's a means to an end for them. We all work for a company for a long time and we think that they value us. And then you know, you kick ass and you do all these different things. I mean, it happened to me. We still had great ratings. Everything was great. Everything was rolling. They call me in and say, we don't have any money. You're out of here. You work hard. You work extra hours. You work extra, you know, you give back all these kind of things. And it, at the end of the day, you learn that it just doesn't matter, that it's a bunch of bean counters. I know people high up within the organization that I used to work with. They called me right afterwards and said, man, I tried to keep you off the list. Your production is great. Your ratings are great. But it was a bean counter and he didn't even look at names. He just looked at salaries and just said, you're out, you're out, you're out, you're out, you're out, you're out. I'm sorry. That's what I was told by a guy higher up within our organization and company. And believe me, I'm not bitter. I love what I'm doing. I got all sorts of things going on in my life. It's totally cool. But what my point is that you do all these extra things for these large companies, and really at the end of the day, does it matter? So this woman is on a morning news show, and she's pregnant. I'll let you take it from there.
And I'm Julia Dunn. We do have some breaking news this morning, literally. Yes. Olivia's water has broke.
That's right.
And she is anchoring the news now in active labor.
Early labor.
We've been doing the contract. She's now, you know, timing her contracts.
We'll see. I'm going to pay attention.
What, 2 minutes apart?
No. Well, there was one, but it's been a few minutes since then, so we're still in good shape.
Her decision to stay
Wait, look at what it says, days past due date.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, I know. So we're thinking
I'm happy to be here, and I'll stay on the desk for as long as I possibly can, but if I disappear...
We're so happy for you. She's 2 days overdue, so she wants this baby baby out.
But. All right, so if my baby does come today, Craig, how's the weather looking?
That's a great... By the way, great transition by her. True professional. But if it again, I don't know what it's like clearly to be pregnant, have my water break, but I've been part of having a child, and I remember when my wife's water broke and what it was like, and we freaked out, and it was in the middle of winter, and we lived in Pittsburgh, and we're like, we're going straight to the hospital. We're not screwing around. I mean, I literally remember the day where I went, hey, what's that? And we raced and grabbed the piece of luggage, and we threw stuff in there, and we called our doctor, and she said, get over here. And so it was... You know, we weren't panicked and she calmed us down, but it was like, yeah, get to the hospital. So my point in saying that, like, because I'm a broadcaster, been a broadcaster for 30 years, if it was me in that situation or something similar, or it was my wife in that situation, I would literally drive down to that thing and get her out of there. It's like, you don't owe this TV station anything. You're in friggin' labor. I'm in early labor. No, you're in labor and it's a child and your water broke. Get the hell out of there. No, I've got to work. I've got to be on the desk. I'm an anchor. I'm a professional. No, you're having a baby. Get your ass to the hospital. Are you insane? So anyway, I just thought that was funny because, like I said, I've had situations, bad situations where it's like, early in my career, especially where I was like, I'm a professional broadcaster. I would not leave this show. I will not leave this update desk. I would not leave this TV show. I will not leave this TV broadcast. Like where I've just said, like life is going to have to wait. And then you get older and you realize like this company is going to fire me tomorrow. Like they don't care. Why am I sitting here in labor for Channel 6? Like, are you kidding me? Channel 6, the minute your ratings drop or the minute you make too much money, Channel 6 is like, get out. And you're like, I've got to be a professional on the desk. I'm like, are you insane? Get to the hospital, you moron. Sorry, didn't mean to call a mom in labor a moron, but for the love of God, man. I'm going to look back. I'm sure the child's going to look back and see that and go like, Mom, what were you doing? Get to the hospital. You're having me. Are you kidding me? Anyway, what are your thoughts on that? There's a couple of sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistols. A gender reveal with an alligator and something that couldn't have been more different. The woman who decided that she was going to, even though she was in labor, stay on the desk. There you go. Give me your thoughts on that. Let me see. Baby's first words. Back to you. Yeah, absolutely. So there you go. That is your sweet, clean, family friendly Caboose Pistol. Yeah, where is Joy? I don't know where she is today. But she was here before. She was here before. I know she was here. I saw it. Hi Joji, good to see you. Let's see. I know she was here early in the show. I swore I saw her. If I didn't see her today, maybe then things are all running together. But I swore I thought I saw her, but maybe not. Maybe I did not see her today. I mean, you know, it's not like she has to be here every single friggin' day, but I thought I could have sworn that I could have sworn that I saw her today, but maybe I didn't. All right. I screwed that one up. All right. There you go. That is episode 149, the Giants top of the line rotation. They have been absolutely great this month, but I think they made a mistake in this decision. Wizenhunt doesn't come up. Tristan Beck does. Kyle Harrison's going to pitch today at 105. Probably going to be a bullpen game. We shall see. Was that the right choice to replace JV? I just told you. Knicks and Pacers. Will the NBA allow this? That's an Oklahoma City, Indiana NBA Finals, or will mysteriously New York come back? Kevin Harlan, go back and watch that. That was incredible. He keeps it going, and he stands up the entire game, which if you bought those tickets behind him, you'd be pissed. Dead voice guy, Jim Fagan, who was the voice of the NBA on NBC, will still be, even though he's passed away, thanks to AI. Brock's Real Deal Show, that's out right now at John Lund Unleashed. I showed you a little bit on the contract. It's not what it appears to be, which is not a bad thing. It's just that the 49ers did a great job. It's a three-year deal, and if they don't love him at the end of 3 years, that's it. If they do, then, yeah, then he'll see a fourth year. I doubt he ever sees that fifth year at $72 million. Sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol, the gender reveal in Florida, and the woman who would not get off the desk despite the fact that her water broke. And there you go. I think that is a Saturday edition of the program. Thank you very much for watching us today. Let me make sure that I did not miss anything else. Everybody have a tremendous Saturday. Have a great rest of your weekend as well. It is much appreciated, your attendance when you join us. Really appreciate it. Again, please subscribe on John Lund Unleashed. Please make sure those alerts on, because this isn't the only time. We'll push a bunch of stuff out today. I got a bunch of things that I've been waiting. So we're going to throw that out like I did yesterday when I threw out the Brock Purdy contract thing so that you know what the contract was actually about. So we did that yesterday. What else? Oh, yeah. Make sure those hit us with a like before you get out of here as well. That helps the algorithm. And hit us on the Bay Area Sports Collective, because that's me. That's Tom Tobert, who had, by the way, Steve Kerr on this week, and Marcus Thompson. Great guests. Hit us, because that is Pauly Mack and Creative Tony. And then we've added Amy G, who's got a great podcast talking about women in sports media or in media. Also, Jeremy Affelt and Rod Brooks have all been added, and we'll add more. I'm just not at liberty to say, and they don't tell me anymore, because I let the cat out of the bag far too early. So everybody have a great weekend. If news breaks, do remember, we'll be right back here at John Lund Unleashed, which means that's why you have your alerts on. Remember, comments right under here. If you got comments, questions, thoughts, you don't have to agree with me, I'd love to hear from you. Or you can hit me up also at John Lund Radio on X, where a lot of people are watching today as well. And I appreciate that. Have the great rest of your Saturday. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!